Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Will you please pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts truly be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. Debt. It's a four-letter word, isn't it? We hate it. I hate it. I don't like it. Debt is a scary thing. For those of you going through college, guess what? You're going to have debt. For those of you 15 years out of college in ministry, you're still going to have student loan debt. That's just the reality. It costs hundreds of thousands of dollars these days to get a master's degree, and that's the reality of what we're facing. There's medical debt. I understand that too. Still paying off debt from our daughter's death and debt from the time that I took off to work on me. Debt is there. It's an evil in our society. We don't like it, but sometimes some of us have to live through it. Some of you have had those experiences in the past, and now you're debt-free. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah for you. And if you listen to Financial Peace University and the man named Dave Ramsey, if you listen to him, debt is evil. Get rid of it as fast as you can because no one should have any debt. And then there's the national debt, and that's a sermon for another time that I'm not even going to touch. Because my debt is nothing in light of that. But today I'm here to tell you something that's very true. If you think you're debt-free, you are wrong. If you think that you've paid off all your debt and you are living a life without it, you are absolutely wrong, because none of us in this room, none of us who are baptized into Jesus Christ, and none of us who believe in Jesus Christ as followers, as disciples, are truly debt-free. As our lesson says for today from St. Paul, we have a debt that we owe, and that debt is love. Now, let me go up here for a minute towards the cross, because as you know, I love the theology of the cross, and we're going to use the cross as another example of understanding this debt. Because here's the reality. It's very simple for us and easy for us in hearing St. Paul say that we have debt. It becomes easy for us to believe that we have a debt that we owe to God for our salvation. I'm first going to tell you that is not true. All the debt for our salvation has been paid for in Jesus Christ once and for all. Because of Jesus, we are debt-free in the eyes of God. And if you've studied the theology of the cross for me, you know that this exists in the vertical relationship of the cross, which represents God's relationship with us. And in this relationship, we are absolutely debt-free. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to heaven. However, because Jesus made things debt-free, and because our relationship with God the Father is healthy and strong, as God the Father in this relationship pours out upon us into the vessel we are, you know, Scripture says that God is the potter, we are the vessel, we are the clay. He molds us and He makes us, right? So we're like clay vessels. We're at the bottom of this vertical relationship with God. As God fills us with His love, as He fills us with His grace, well, let me ask you this question. If I take a bucket and I take a hose and I start pouring water into that bucket, what happens to the water? You don't sound very confident about that, so I'm going to ask again. What happens to the water? If we are the vessel at the bottom of the relationship with Christ, wherein, through word and sacrament, He is constantly filling us with His grace and His love and His mercy, what eventually happens to it? It overflows and it forms the horizontal part of the cross, our relationship with each other. And therein is the debt that we owe to each other and to society. This debt is key, and it is key for not for earning our salvation, but for proclaiming the salvation of Jesus Christ and expanding that salvation. Paul, in his letter to the Romans today, says, "Let no debt among you stand except for the debt to love one another." You know what's really sad is that sometimes we don't love each other. Now, let me pause button right there. Notice what it doesn't say. You don't have to like everybody. There is a difference between like and love. Husbands and wives know that difference. I always love my wife. Well, let me say this. My wife always loves me. But there are days she doesn't like me. Parents, you always love your children, but there sure are some days it's really hard to like them, right? You understand the difference. We're called to love, to forgive. One of the things that strikes me the most is one of the places we least see this idea of love is in the family units. I can't tell you how many times families come and they'll work with me and I'll work with them and I'll counsel them, but they don't understand the concept of love. They don't understand it because they hold grudges. They hold bitterness. They talk about each other. It even happens in the church. It happens in this church. I've already heard it. Now, I will tell you, we're a great church, and we are a church full of love, and you know that, and you know I keep telling you that, but I still have heard it. Grudges being held, people not liking each other or loving each other for things that are just unimaginable, small things. It's never the big things in life. Have you noticed that? It's the small things. So-and-so forgot to turn off the lights on the Christmas tree. Man, I'm mad at them. And now I'm not going to love them anymore. I'm going to gossip and tell everybody how bad they are at managing their job in the church. Now, that didn't really happen, but you follow where I'm going, right? Now, here's the reality of something. If we in the church can't learn to truly love each other no matter what, which, as again, I will say, this church is leaps and bounds ahead of most churches. I will tell you that right now. On a scale of 1 to 10, most churches in loving are about a 4 or 5. This church is about an 8, and I don't just say that because I'm your pastor. I really mean that. That's one of the reasons I came here, okay? I hope you get that. I hope you understand that. But there's still work to be done. We're not perfect, right? 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 Everybody, right? We're not perfect. Okay, all right. On a scale of 1 to 10, we're about an 8. So the reality is, learning to love each other is crucial, because here's the other reality. If we can't truly love each other no matter what, even with our mess-ups and our dislikes, even in the voters' meeting where somebody wants blue carpet and somebody wants orange carpet, and it will be orange carpet because that's the official color of the church, and not burnt orange, real orange. Anyways, Frank's doing this. I have no idea what that means. Here's the problem with not learning to love each other. Paul says the end is near, the time has come, and there are people out there who don't know Jesus. If we can't learn to love our own family, and we can't learn to love our own church members, how in the world am I supposed to love the Muslim down the corner who doesn't know Jesus? How am I supposed to learn the homosexual, to love the homosexual that my gosh, doesn't know the true word of God? How am I supposed to love the homeless person that comes in every day asking for money? How am I supposed to learn to love the parents that drop off their kids at my school that don't discipline them and take care of them and don't feed them and don't nourish them properly? How am I supposed to love my neighbor and I don't even know their name? Because love is what conquers the world. Love is what changes the world. Love is what gives people the gospel. Do you understand that? Not standing on street corners with signs saying, gays go to hell. Not standing in front of the abortion clinic with a sign that says, you will burn in hell for having an abortion. You see, the reality is, it's learning to love those people no matter what. Even when they've done something we don't agree with. Even when they've done something we can't respect. I told my ladies this week, or a couple weeks ago in Bible study, about how it is to be Lutheran, right? And there are so many people who will stand on this side of the abortion clinic, and here's the clinic, and they're throwing out the signs, God hates you, you're going to burn in hell. And those women, do you think that changes the women's mind? Not at all. Me, I want to be on this side. As they come out saying, you're loved, Jesus forgives you, let me show you the God we worship. Let me show you the God who died for you to fill you with grace. Do you see that? Do you see the difference in loving the world? It's hard to do, but we're called to do it. Love is crucial in bringing Christ to the world. If we do not learn to love the world around us as Jesus loves us, and let me tell you something, Jesus loves us, and you know what? I'm an ugly sinner. I'm an ugly sinner. I have done things in my life that if I told you, your jaws would drop to the floor, and you would say, and you're a pastor, and no doubt you would violate the eighth commandment, run into Ace Hardware and Walmart and saying, you know about that goofy pastor over there? Listen, let me tell you what he did, and he calls himself a pastor. This is the reality, and it's no different for you, is it? And Jesus loves you. He died for you on that cross. He fills you with grace and love and mercy every day because he loves you so much. He loves you so much that he doesn't see your sins anymore. He's removed them as far as the east is from the west. And love is crucial for us to change the world, to bring the world to Christ. Love is crucial in building one another up in the end time. Brothers and sisters, we live in a hard world. It is not easy to be Christian anymore. I would not want to be a student in high school today. I wouldn't want to be a student in college today. I'm not sure I want to even own a house and live in a neighborhood today. Because love is hard to do. And if we can't build each other up here, if we can't spend more time in fellowship here, if we can't spend more time in serving each other here so that we serve our community, if we can't let go of the grudges and all the other things that go along with the politics of being a church, we're in trouble. Because love is what builds us up for the end times. And you and I need to be built up. We need to know that we are not only loved by Jesus, but that we're loved by each and every person that surrounds us in this sanctuary now. We need to love the visitor so much that when they come in this door, they have experienced the power of Jesus Christ in their lives. We need to love our neighbor and get to know them because you know what? The end times are hard. Do I have to have you raise your hands to say that you're going through a hard time or have been? Debt, financial problems, health problems, our loved ones dying, being diagnosed with an illness or a cancer, raising kids. Raising kids is hard today. Let me tell you something. I'm really glad that both my kids are in heaven, to be quite honest with you, because I don't know how you guys, your parents, do it today. It truly is a miracle. It really is. But love is crucial for building one another up in these end times. Brothers and sisters, indeed, we have a debt to pay. And that debt is to each other. And that debt God gives us for a reason. Love and love alone saves the world.